The biggest challenge right now is the closing of Spruce Run and the public's opinion on that. I think a lot of people are still kind of upset about it, even though it's been a few months and there's been messages explaining the reasoning behind it. And I think the way that we need to resolve it is to continue spreading the message. I got the Clinton Township newsletter in the mail, and it, you know, explained how you can get the weekly updates in your inbox, and just more communication to explain, you know, the process and how it's easy and how we're transitioning and the move is simple, and that, you know, jobs were lost and that it's going to be saving money, and that, you know, it eventually should be a simple process. And I think to continue that, it might be smart to look for more opportunities to bring other schools into Spruce Run, early education facilities into Spruce Run to gain extra money, and potentially, if that's an if the management cost to run that isn't too expensive, also, I think that needs to be evaluated. So I think just clear communication on that, and making sure that all the students and teachers are comfortable in their new locations. I think that's the biggest challenge and the solution in order to solve it.
I'm going to echo something that was just said earlier. I think there are a lot of challenges that school boards in general face. Budget is always one, but I think one that is somewhat unique to Clinton Township, or maybe unique to Clinton Township, is the turnover with the superintendent and some of the administrative positions. I think it's difficult to implement a long-term strategic plan cohesively and consistently with some of that turnover. So I think it's worth, and the superintendent one is tricky because people leave jobs for all different reasons. Some you can control, some can't. Sometimes it's a good reason, sometimes it's a bad. But I do think, reflecting on the overall process and especially going forward in hiring a new superintendent is important.
I think the primary challenge that the board faces is personnel. I think, as just mentioned, the turnover of superintendents is very troubling. I think also the difficulty that the board has had in settling a contract with the teachers has really eroded some of the public trust and the teacher relationship with the board. And so I think that is of significant concern. We know a young family who doesn't have children yet, who were, they moved into this area, they were weighing exactly which community to move to. They love Clinton Township, but they saw the turnover in the superintendent and they decided to move to Lebanon Borough instead. I think that is very troubling for any homeowner in Clinton Township. It's very hard from the public perspective to know exactly what those interactions are like. That's one of the reasons I would like to be on the board, is that, you know, I would like to be a part of those decisions in a way that the public can't. But I do think that there is a real need to express very publicly the board's support for teachers to continue to do that, so that there's a level of trust that is rebuilt there. I think the other sort of policy recommendation that I would make is that if the negotiating team is having a hard time seeing eye to eye with the teachers, that regardless of what the reason for that is, sometimes the solution is new blood. And so I would say that one area to look into if the negotiations continue to be at an impasse would be to think about whether the people who are on the negotiating team need to actually be switched out, not for, through any fault of their own, but just to get new faces in there so that there can be somewhat of a fresh start.
So I think that the question was about the biggest challenges facing the board and Clinton Township schools. And I would say that the root cause, or the biggest challenge, is the declining enrollment in this area. And while that might not seem like the board's responsibility or something that we have direct control over, there's also ongoing challenges in the township around affordable housing development and other things that could bring an influx in population to the area if they happened in a more timely fashion. And I think that to whatever extent we acknowledge that, you know, the root cause of our problems is, in 2010 there were 1,700 students and there's like a hair over 1,200 now, and it's projected to go to 1,100, and we have facilities for like 2,200, something like that. That math just doesn't work very well. And so so I think acknowledging that as the root cause of our challenges, which is you know, part of that is sort of liberating, right? It's not the fault of the teachers, it's not the fault of the board, it's just bad math that we've got going on in our township right now. And working to support some changes that enhance development and affordability in the township so that people do move here to help reverse those trends. That said, the sort of thing that has me most concerned is some of the communications that have come out about the impasse between the board and the teachers, because as the daughter of a teacher, I see teachers as really the backbone of a strong educational system, and I am concerned about why those negotiations have soured. And it's not entirely, there's the sort of macro things that are the problems everywhere, right, with the rising healthcare costs and everything else. But understanding how maybe being on the board, I could understand that and communicate that in a way that seemed less fraught than some of the communications that have come out. Just as a community member looking in, that has been something that has been most concerning to me.
So hello, ladies. I got to finally come down here. I thought I was only talking to Kevin and Lisa for the evening. So you get to come down to a different perspective. So I think some of the primary challenges, and again, they've been discussed, so I'll try not to be overly redundant to it, but I guess the starting point is the superintendent and the volume of turnover that we've had there, and what can we as a board do to impact that. And again, I talked about that in the last question, so I won't repeat myself to that. I think the next problem is two problems that are very much integrated, which is the teacher's contract that's been discussed and the budget and how those things interact. And finding a way to be able to balance that. Can you hear me far enough?
Mm-hmm.
To find the right balance to that. I think, and not suggesting that any teacher has done this whatsoever, but I think one of my concerns at least is the longer this goes, the more likely that is the frustrations to seep into the classroom. And I think that's something that it needs to be resolved one way or another to be able to just put that to bed and get that behind us. But as I said, that's very closely integrated to the budget. And when there's the board is allowed to increase the budget by 2%, which is a little under $500,000, and the fixed costs of the existing pay scale and existing expectations on health insurance, I remember they're somewhere around $600,000, the math doesn't add up on that either. So I'm not quite sure what the answer is, and hopefully you guys have a little more knowledge about that than I do as far as the history, but that's really where it's got to connect. I think the Spruce Run piece, I don't see it as a huge challenge. Quite honestly, at this point, the Spruce Run is execute. It's done, the decision's made, move on. Now it's how do we execute, and I think that's really the responsibility of the superintendent and the administration of get it done. And as long as it gets done and everything moves smoothly, I don't think that's going to really, that won't fester that long. People by nature are change resistant. That's just human nature. And most people get over it over a period of time in different ways. There's change management philosophies around that you can go into as well. But I think that one's just, at this point, is get it done and make sure things go smoothly that first week of school, and that one will be in the rearview mirror pretty quickly.
Okay. you want to do 10?
Sure. To Mr. Moore, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. The school district is operating on a 2% cap. District expenses are rising, and the district gets
just lost
over $300,000 in state aid. What approach should the district take to control expenses?
That's a good question. Yeah, especially for the guy who didn't volunteer to be a finance guy. So, listen, as a lawyer, when you're faced with issues like that, I would evaluate everything. It's the best answer I could give. I think you have to go through all the finances and look how you're spending money in all different areas. Yeah, I mean, off the top of my head, that's about it.
Thank you. Thanks.
So I would say, you know, closing Spruce Run was a good approach. I think to a person, I was at the meeting where that was discussed, and I think everyone's reaction was, you know, that this seems reasonable. Maybe the timing was what was discussed, but saving money in terms of consolidating the bus routes, consolidating the number of schools that the K-8 students would be in seems appropriate. This is a little bit hard for the public to react to, because so much of the contract negotiations, that's private, and that's stuff that, you know, understandably, we're not privy to. That said, I know that personnel costs, that's a huge amount of the budget. And so, that's important to kind of keep in mind. I do agree with what Allison said earlier, which is that, you know, there are holistic challenges for our township that are beyond what the board is necessarily directly in charge of, but I think affordable housing factors into this. That means that the number of people with school-age kids moving into this area, that trickles down into affecting the school system. Beyond that, I do think there is that 2% cap. We have been well below that for many, many years in a row. And I think what's important from a taxpayer perspective is, if the board's making decisions to increase the tax burden, justify it. You know, what is the reason for that? And I would like to be part of a board that is willing to go to bat for excellent education. You know, I get frustrated at people who say, oh, our taxes are high, as though that in and of itself is a bad thing. My feeling is, what are you getting for that? And so I think being able to communicate to the public, you know, what is the bang that you're getting for your buck? We're getting higher property values. We are getting a robust community of kids who are going to grow up and be leaders and want to stay in this area and be the next generation. You know, I would like to be a part of a board that is willing to defend those kinds of decisions.
It doesn't bite.
There's also like the crackly feedback, or I guess I hear somebody's papers. Where do you find the money? And there's only so much that you can see from the outside. And obviously there's some challenges there. I will say, I fully agree with the Spruce Run decision. I think that where I grew up, you had elementary school, middle school, and high school. There was, when we moved here, and there were, like, the kids changed schools every 2 years. I thought that was insane. Looking at the numbers, you know, it was such a long study to get to the decision to finally close or sort of close Spruce Run. I wonder if there isn't more that we could look at there in terms of school consolidation to tighten up the budget further so that we really prioritize the kids and the educators over, you know, maintaining excessive, you know, buildings. You know, when my husband and I were looking for a house, our real estate agent kept showing us these huge places, and we're like, this is too much house for us. And she's like, what do you mean, too much house? We're like, I don't want to clean it. I don't want to roof it. I don't want to pay for the plumbing and the rewiring. Like, and so I really think we need to think about what value we're getting out of our spaces. So that's also like where I work is, you know, looking for the things that are economically and environmentally beneficial, and that's often, you know, how can we use less space and use the space that we do have more efficiently. And I think the numbers were at like 69% or something like that. It's up from 50 something, but there's still some space there that maybe, you know, if we communicated transparently with the community and really emphasized, you know, what is it that we want to do and did this in a collaborative process, I'm curious if from the other side of the table, I wouldn't be able to see some additional room there.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I'll agree with some of the comments that have been made. I think the most significant thing the board could have done is what they did in closing Spruce Run. If I remember correctly, the conservative estimate was somewhere between $800,000 and $1.1 million in savings over the course of the first year. That's a significant impact to the budget. I'm not exactly sure, again, from the behind the scenes of what does that potentially create as far as flexibility in longer term budget planning. And the second issue that is probably the biggest driver is looking at getting that contract done and finding a way to economically manage the contract with the teachers and find the right balance to that. I think those are probably the two biggest drivers of where the budget challenges are and the things that are probably the most likely solvable to try to impact those budget challenges. There's certainly other options that none of them are things people are going to be really happy about as far as increasing class sizes and cutting activities, and nobody wants to see that. So we've got to find ways to be able to find that right balance without having to cut those things back. Putting the new floor back here. I know my youngest daughter is ecstatic about getting up here for the musical. So we need to continue those things and again, find that right way of balancing to support the education as well as the extracurriculars for the kids in the most responsible way possible.
So I think it's important to evaluate every line item basically on the budget. As you probably know, if you're shopping in a supermarket, little items add up quickly. And some things may just slip by that may not actually be necessary or there may be a cheaper alternative. So by going through each thing, there may be, you know, thousands that can be saved every year. And as people have mentioned, Spruce Run 2, we're supposed to save 900,000 the first year. There's going to be some transition expenses for the first year also, but for future years, there'll be continual savings. There's also potential for other income streams coming from Spruce Run, so I think we should continue exploring that opportunity as well. And I think with the teacher negotiations also, I think we need to, you know, I'm not sure, you know, the exact negotiation, what's going on behind the scenes, but I think we need to stand strong and, you know, keep the budgets in line and make sure that we keep things on track for the taxpayers and for the schools.
This is Greg. Did you want me to do the last one?
You want to do the last one?
Okay. So we've kept you here a long time. We're going to consolidate a little bit, and we're going to just go to the last question, which is, are you planning to run in November? Why or why not?
Yes, I am planning to run in November, and we've filed if we're going to, so I'm running for the three-year term. You know, I think maybe I speak for all of us. We all want to have an impact on our school system in a positive way, and, you know, between now and December is not a lot of time to really make that impact. So I am passionate enough about this that I'm running for a three-year term, and you know, I would love to be a new voice on the board.
Uh, I also filed my paperwork yesterday to run in November. After speaking with Maria about how the committees were structured and the timing of when the Finance Committee actually did the bulk of their work, and then the timing of this position that it ended in December, it just seemed like in order to have any sort of understanding or impact, you would have to do at least a full year. So I filed my paperwork to do the 1 year unexpired term yesterday. And I did that because, when they sent out the notice about this vacancy, my husband and I talked about it, and then, sitting down to write the letter, I realized, I really do have a lot of, thoughts and ideas of how I could contribute here, and we have sort of lived here for a couple of years now and settled down and really decided, we want to make this our place and we want to get engaged in the community. And this seemed like a great way to start to really make good on that that sort of commitment that our family has to this community.
And agreed, yes, I filed the paperwork as well. I think this is a great opportunity to kind of one, sort of get your feet wet at the back end of the year, but also, as we've talked about, there's a lot of really important stuff going on now with the filling the superintendent, the negotiations, things like that. So it's a really critical time to get somebody engaged in the board who wants to be here beyond December. So I think it's a great opportunity to kind of combine both of those together, and something that I'm very interested and passionate about doing as far as being able to support the community and be engaged in the process.
I also plan on running in November, and I think this is a great opportunity to be involved with the community and make a great impact in something that I've been involved with my entire life is Clinton Township and the school district, and I've been able to see it grow, and my brothers have gone through the school district as well, and there have been changes before even the kindergarten was in Spruce Run. My brothers were in the school district. So I've seen the evolution of the school district, and being able to have a say in things and have it succeed would be tremendously important to me. And I think that I would be very helpful in having a great success for it and helping the future of it also.
Thank you. Thanks.
I plan to run for the 3 year term. Like I said earlier, my kids have started within the school system. I've been very pleased with education. I know there are challenges ahead, and I would like to be part of the solution to some of those problems to ensure that the quality of the education and a lot of the enrichment programs that my kids have enjoyed continue on.
Okay, so we've just spent a considerable amount of time grilling you. Now you can grill us. What questions might you have for us?
This is my second time. First time was 4 years. This at the end I'll be on. At the end of my term, I'll be a 7 year board member.
So I'm in the third year of my first term.
I'm not a board member. I'm the business administrator. For the last 31 days.
Not that he's counting or anything.
31st.
This is my, I don't even know.
Eighth
year.
80th?
Seventh year.
First year of a 3 year term.
Last year of a 3 year term.
First year of a 3 year term.
I don't think we have one particular challenge. I think I
it's a cumulative. It's a cumulative
ask how many
situation.
Rocks there are in the avalanche.
I just think education in New Jersey is changing for lots of reasons, and reasons that are out of our control and some that are in our control. Everyone's experiencing a declining enrollment. Everyone is managing budgets on very little money with a lot of unfunded mandates and and changes in curriculum and technology needs. So that's huge as well. So I think all of the things that you guys have mentioned, plus a million more. I mean, I don't look at any one bigger than the other because they all intertwine and they all impact one another. But we have some very significant things to manage.
I would agree. I mean, the example du jour, right? If you stick around, we're about to get a budget presentation and figure out this district just lost $300,000. That we weren't expecting to lose. And that's a very material number. When you think about how much non-payroll and payroll-affiliated spending this district has to offer the education we have, it goes to baseline declining enrollment, as you say. It goes to the contract, as you all said. It goes to stability from the board and the leadership of the administration, as you said. And who knows what tomorrow's going to bring, right? There's talk of district consolidation in Trenton. That'd be, I can't wait to be sitting in this chair if that comes through. So
it's an intricate matrix. Everything hinges off everything else. There is, as Maria said, there is no one piece that's more important than another. One day it could be negotiations, the next day it could be the budget. It's crapshoot.
I think the biggest challenge is that we can't control what our biggest challenges are.
Mm-hmm.
We can't mandate the percentage of healthcare. We can't mandate what our cap is. We can't look at, you know, declining enrollment and have that much of a say in it. You know, it's hinged upon other factors that happen. So we have to take one at a time and deal with them in the best way possible. I think we continue as a board to work together to face those challenges.
Yeah, I double what everybody else said. My first 6 to 7 months of this, and did not expect to find the things that I found to be as challenging. But I think many of you mentioned balance, and that perhaps may be the biggest challenge of them all is finding balance. Not only, you know, but in income versus outgo, not only you know, students per building, but community versus board, because that's what it ends up being, because there are so many things that we cannot disclose. And that leads to all kinds of misunderstandings. And, you know, anybody who says no in this world is a bad guy. You know, we're all fake news up here. So it's finding the balance with community, on the understanding that no matter what choice you make, whether it's for the better good of the community or not, given all the information you have, you're not going to make everybody happy. The balance isn't going to be there for some people. And that's one of the hardest challenges for me.
I think the most important thing is to come into it knowing that you have to have thick skin. I think thick skin is extremely important because you're going to be faced with adversity and challenges throughout the entire time you're here. And the most important thing is that if you stick to who you are and stay true to what your beliefs are and why you fundamentally started in the Board of Education and why you wanted to join, it ultimately comes down to making the decisions for the district collectively. It's not for your child specifically, it's not for her child specifically, it's for the collective benefit of the entire community.
What do you mean, Snow?
But it's collective. So if you go into it thinking that you're going to be a part of something, then you're already ahead of the game. So I think that's the most important thing. And challenge-wise, there is a lot. So culminating to, there's a lot. So be prepared.
I agree with everyone else. They've all made good points, and it's that moving target. It's the trying to figure out what's today's issue, what's going to happen this afternoon. It's the moving target.
I just want to add one more thing. I enjoy this process and welcoming new board members onto the board. When I finally retire from this, I'm going to write a book called On the Other Side of the Dais. Because there are so many things that we can't say that contribute to all of us making decisions. that I really like when people come on, because then you can get educated as to all of the challenges and how there's this matrix, as everybody's calling it, and putting together all this information that we can't share, which fosters the decisions that we make. And so I want to thank all of you for coming, and I wish we could take all of you. As I mentioned, we've been doing this for a really long time, some of us. This has probably been the most well-informed group of people that we've had on our issues, on our challenges, and how to, you know, contributions you can make. So I really want to thank you, and I'm not just saying that. I mean, this has been really a delight. I mean, just, you know, we've asked some of these questions in the past before and haven't gotten the feedback. So this is really impressive, and this is going to be really, really hard. And I've never said that before, so don't think that, you know, I said that before. but this is fantastic. And we're going to go into executive session in a second, and we'll have discussions. I'm going to say this to you 5 times before you leave tonight. You can only take one, right? And if you're not selected, please don't run away. Yeah. We've had a lot of people who have come here, you know, who have done exactly what you've done, right? And we never see them again. And or people that will run just once, and we never see them again. And we're like, darn, that person could have made a huge contribution. But there's only so many seats. So again, I'll say it before you go tonight, but please don't run away, right? If you don't get selected tonight, hopefully you get elected in November, and then can make, start making huge contributions with us in the winter.
Would you have any tips or recommendations for the election process?
We can't do that. That's
okay.
That's, yeah, there's statutes that's in
there. All right.
Google is your friend. Any other last question? Okay. Mr. Kilpatrick, can you read the executive session statement?
Yes. Whereas while the Senator Byron M. Baer, Open Public Meetings Act, New Jersey SA 10:4-6, requires all meetings of the Clinton Township Board of Education to be held in public, NJSA 10:4-12b sets forth 9 types of matters that may lawfully be discussed in executive session, i.e. without the public hearing, without the public being permitted to attend. And whereas the Clinton Township Board of Education has determined that the following issues are permitted by NJSA 10:4-12b to be discussed without the public in attendance and shall be discussed during an executive session. Whereas any pending or anticipated litigation or contract negotiation in which the public body is or may become a party, any matters falling within the attorney-client privilege to the extent that confidentiality is required in order for the attorney to exercise his ethical duties as a lawyer, the nature of the matter described as specifically as possible without undermining the need for confidentiality, reviewing hearing information before the board pursuant to NJSA 18A:37-13.2, attorney-client privilege, personnel, and negotiations. And whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 60 minutes, after which the meeting shall reconvene and proceed with business, now therefore be it resolved that the Clinton Township Board of Education will go into executive session for only the above stated reasons. Be it therefore resolved that the board hereby declares that its discussion on the aforementioned subject will be made public at such time as the reason for confidentiality no longer exists.
Thank you, Mr. Kilpatrick. I'm looking for a motion, please, to go into executive session.
Motion.
Second. Motion, Mrs. Verdogata. Second, Mrs. McLaughlin. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? We are in executive session. My glasses. I'm looking for a motion, please, to reconvene the meeting.
Motion. Second.
Second, Lana, and then... You did the first two?
Someone else motion.
I did first. Doesn't matter. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? We're now back in session. I told you I was going to say this again, right? Please come back if you weren't selected. I was not selected the first time. Mrs. McLaughlin was not selected. Mrs. Olowski was not selected. Were you selected the first time?
Actually,
he was.
Okay.
He's an overachiever.
I wasn't sure.
Pay attention.
Sorry.
Pay attention to him.
I was.
Wait, weren't you the only one that showed up that night?
and I was late. Yeah.
Aw, thanks.
And don't worry, because I was
selected by a much dumber board.
And Ms. Brennan has gone through this process as well. So, as I said before, if you're not selected tonight, please come back. This was, the first thing everybody said was, well, this was the most impressive group, and some of us have been around for a while, so we really, truly mean that. So, I'm going to read a resolution. Be it resolved that the Board of Education approves the following resolution to appoint Robert Holliday to fill a vacant seat on the board through December 31st of 2018. Whereas the Board of Education has a vacant seat on the board due to a recent board member's resignation, and whereas the Board of Education has advertised the availability of the vacant seat to the public, and whereas the Board of Education has interviewed interested candidates during its public meeting held on July 31st, 2018, and whereas the Board of Education has convened an executive session to discuss the qualifications of each interviewed candidate, and therefore, be it resolved that the Clinton Township Board of Education hereby selects Robert Holliday to fill the vacancy on the board for a term to continue through December 31st. I'm looking for a motion, please.
Motion.
Motion, Ms. Vdoga, a second?
Second.
Second, Mrs. Olasky. Any questions? Seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Mrs. Brennan?
Yes.
Mrs. Brooks?
Yes.
Dr. Foy is out. Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mrs. Olasky?
Yes.
Mrs. Redaglio? Mrs. Redaglio?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Okay. Motion passes. Congratulations, Mr. Holliday. So, you hit the ground running as we promised, so there's no rest for the weary. So if you would come up,
yes,
a board secretary will swear you in.
Well, first you have to take the oath, yeah.
Maria, what?
Do you want him to sit here?
What?
Do you want him to sit here?
Yeah.
Got it.
Sit here. Correction. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah, sir.
I, Robert Holliday.
I, Robert Holliday.
Do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support the Constitution of the United States.
Do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
And the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
And that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
And that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
And to the governments established in the United States and this state.
And to the governments established in the United States and this state.
Under the authority of the people, so help me God.
Under the authority of the people, so help me God.
I, Robert Holliday.
I, Robert Holliday.
Do solemnly swear or affirm that I possess the qualifications prescribed by law.
Do solemnly swear or affirm that I possess the qualifications prescribed by law.
For the office of member of a Board of Education.
For the office of member of the Board of Education.
And that I am not disqualified as a voter pursuant to RS-19:4-1.
And that I am not disqualified as a voter pursuant to RS-19:14-1.
Nor disqualified due to conviction of a crime or offense listed in NJS-18A:12-1.
Nor disqualified due to conviction of a crime or offense listed in New Jersey S-18A:12-1.
And that I will faithfully, impartially, and justly perform all the duties of that office.
And that I will faithfully, impartially, and justly perform all the duties of that office.
According to the best of my ability, so help me God.
According to the best of my ability, so help me God.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Do you want him to sit here, mm-hmm. right? And then help him through the
yeah.
agenda? You guys can stay. You don't stay there.
I just didn't want to be front row center.
Oh, okay. Kevin, can you help him through the agenda?
Mm-hmm.
Or is the, and is there enough?
He has a copy of the agenda and the presentation.
Perfect. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. I'd like to move the meeting on then to the report of the superintendent, Ms. Cohen.
Thank you. For this evening, the HIB report is that there are no new HIBs as we are in almost August. Enrollment report today is 1,298, which is one more student than 2 weeks ago. And the status update for the reorganization of schools will take place during a presentation that Mr. Kilpatrick and I will be giving this evening.
Thank you. I'd like to open the floor to our first public comment section on agenda items only to guarantee the fair and orderly expression of an individual. Our bylaw limits comments to 3 minutes. We will adhere to this bylaw to allow for everyone to be heard in a fair, consistent, and equitable way. Also, the public comment section is for comments made by the public. It is not an interactive session between the board and the public. This, too, is defined by our bylaw. The board will make note of any questions or comments that a member of the public will make at the microphone. If the Board of Education has an immediate answer to the question or questions, they will be answered at the conclusion of the public comment section. We will gather all questions that won't be answered and get back to that individual. No participant may speak more than once on the same topic until all those who wish to speak on that topic have been heard. If you'd like to address the board this evening, please approach the microphone, state your name and address. Be limiting this public comment section to 30 minutes. No, seeing none, I'd like to close the floor then and open the floor for the first recognition of the public. All of the parameters I mentioned under the public comment section for agenda items only apply to the first recognition of the public. If you'd like to approach the board on school-related matters only, please approach the microphone, state your name and address, be limiting this public comment section to 10 minutes.
I think I'm tall enough.
Hi. I'm Faith Furman. I'm 3 Cobblestone Lane in Annandale, and I'm a resident here, obviously, and I also am the school nurse, one of the school nurses in the district. I wanted to thank everybody that came out and tried to run for the board. That's exciting for our community. Beyond that, I also want to just congratulate everybody that did the extended school year program and the summer rec program, because they were really great. The staff worked really hard this year too, with all the changes going on. And I just want to give a shout out to our township for their summer rec program. They just do such a good job, and they don't always get a good rep, you know, in the district for that. And I just want to give them a shout out. They were wonderful to work with this year.
Anyone else like to address the board this evening? Nope, seeing none. I'd like to move on to the report of our committees. Mr. Roy is the committee chair of the Facilities and Finance Committee. To report to the committee, please.
Yes, so the Facilities and Finance Committee met last week. Unfortunately, I wasn't there, but I did get debriefed on that. And one of the big items I was talking about was obviously the state aid issue. So, which facilitates the need, obviously, for the adoption of a revised budget, which is among the 7 items that we are voting on tonight. The other would be having our new superintendent and our new business administrator be named as signatories on accounts for distribution of monies. We are hiring a payroll services firm, which is very exciting. Continued membership in the MUJC. Janitorial services contract hire for the transition between schools with costs not to exceed $15,000. There is one grad course approval item. and we are hiring a contractor for well water compliance. So with that, I seek the motion of items FF1824 through FF1830.
Thank you, Mr. Malloy. Looking for a second, please.
Second.
Second, Mrs. McLaughlin.
Excuse me, I wish to amend that. I seek moving for items FF19.
Fair enough.
24 through FF19, 30.
Okay, Mrs. McLaughlin, will you accept the amendment?
I'll accept it.
Any questions for Mr. Malloy? Okay, seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Mrs. Brennan?
Yes.
Mrs. Brooks?
Yes.
Dr. LaFoy is absent. Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mrs. Orlowski?
Yes.
Mrs. R has left the meeting, and Mrs. Graham?
Yes. Motion carries. I'm going to, yes,
Mr. Holliday.
Mr. Holliday.
Mr. Holliday.
Oh, excuse me.
Having not ready the materials, I'll abstain.
Please forgive me.
I'm going to backtrack a bit. I'd like to ask Mr. Kilpatrick and Mrs. Cohn to do their presentation now on the impact of state aid reduction news that we received this last week. Thank you.
Okay, good evening. Mr. Kilpatrick and I would like to take a few minutes this evening to review the budget update and to give you an opportunity to learn a little bit more about the status of our reorganization. Our objective this evening is to provide a clear and accurate overview of the recent events affecting the Clinton Township School District and the 18-19 budget.
The agenda for tonight really are what events have occurred that are affecting us, how are these events being addressed by the administration and the board, what is the implication to the taxpayer, and to give you a little bit of a tax levy information summary at the end. The events that have occurred really are basically two events. We've received the reduction in state aid of $302,694, and that's a lot of money. It's 13% of our state aid. Well, how does that relate to different areas or different school districts? It's a 13% decrease, the second highest in the county. It's also, one we missed, second highest in the state, actually, as well. Not in dollar amount, but in percentage, 13%. And I've been in contact with the state about that, and they're going to get back to me about, you know, why it was so big. The big interesting point about this reduction in state aid is it's reduced all of our adjustment in state aid. The adjusted aid is usually a bucket that they use to help keep districts maintained year to year and kind of keep them safe. It was kind of anticipated that that was going to move away over the years, but it was never anticipated that it would be lost in 1 year. And it seems like we're like one of the only districts that lost all of their adjustment aid in one fell swoop in 1 year. And so we're talking to the state, seeing why that happened. It's possible that they're just trying to, you know, level things off for a lot of other districts, and we just got hit for our whole adjustment aid, unlike anybody else did. The other big factor that is affecting our budget is the reorganization of the school district. And we've talked about that in different features, in different ways, and we'll continue about that discussion a little bit later. But essentially, how does the reduction in state aid affect the reorganization of the district? For us, there's no impact on the reorganization. The reorganization is moving forward, full steam ahead. Everything's happening the way it was planned. We're kind of lucky because the board has decided to do reorganization. The stars were kind of aligned for the district. We had a large pool of retirements, about 12 positions. The reorganization is basically self-funded and is paying for itself. The anticipated savings in transportation alone are expected to compensate for the reduction in state aid. Now, that's no, you know, we didn't do that on purpose. We didn't come up with that number first. The reduction in state aid came up after. The state didn't even know how much we were projecting in savings in the reorganization for transportation or any other feature. And a reduction in state aid of $302,694, it's like, you know, everything just aligned well for us. The job's not over, though, yet. The impact in state aid to our operations, students, teachers, and administration. The curriculum and programs are not affected. We're moving forward with the reorganization. The reduction in state aid doesn't affect the reorganization at all. Student achievement programs, not affected. We're still continuing all the programs we have. The teachers had no reductions in force, and there's no increase in class size. That was the purpose and the objective of doing the whole reorganization in the first place, was to make sure that we kept our students the same. The administration must work harder, though, to make good with less, because we have $300,000 left in our appropriations, and we have to deal with that. So the impact on reorganization for students and staff, in many ways, are positive.
Yeah, I'd like to touch a little bit about that. You know, I can only imagine if our district had not reorganized at this time. I'm in contact with colleagues that are in charge of many areas and many districts throughout the state, and they're facing massive layoffs here at the late date of August 1 tomorrow. So I feel that we are really at an advantage to have done the reorganization. For us, our class sizes remain the same, and the benefit of, you know, student programming, we actually have had an increase. Students in grade 6 have opportunities to participate in some clubs and sports activities that they had not been able to participate previously. And again, no reduction in force, and that's huge. As I, you know, speak to colleagues around the state, they're really facing some very difficult decisions for their staff and for their students and families of their communities.
The state came through with guidance for how you need to deal with the reduction in force, reduction in state aid. And they gave us really four options. The fifth option is, you know, choose any of the or all of the above. I want to first talk about option number four, the reduce appropriations for 18 and 19. We could, in theory, reduce our appropriations and move forward with the reduction, with the reduced state aid, and say, hey, state, yeah, we can live with it. Here we go. We feel that's not really the best thing to do, because we're going to discuss this with the state. We're going to kind of cry that this is hurting us. We don't think this is sustainable for what we need to do for our students. Pursuant to NJAC 6A23A14-2D, we can withdraw withdraw money from maintenance reserve to cover our budgeted reduction. However, we have $200,000 or so built into this year's budget of maintenance reserve that we've reduced. So our maintenance reserve account is not really equipped to be able to handle much, if any, of this reduction. So that's not really an option for us. We can request the commission to approve to withdraw from emergency reserve. If we had emergency reserve, that would be a possibility. We don't have emergency reserve to be able to impact, to be able to tap into. We can use The final option is to use unassigned general fund surplus to maintain budgeted appropriations. What does that mean? That basically means that if we are able to reduce our costs during the year, at the end of the year, before June 30th, we can say we have surplus created, basically in the business sense, an operating profit, that we have expenditures that are lower than the appropriations we had, and we can use that money to allocate towards our reduction in state aid, because it's a reduction in revenue that we're not going to get throughout the year. And we think that's the best method. It's gives us the most flexibility to operate throughout the year. We do have in our back pocket, really, the reduction or the reducing costs that we anticipate because of the reorganization, which should help us meet this. It should help meet it even in a greater detail, and as some of the candidates knew and understood, this reorganization of Spruce Run schools into the other schools will allow us some funding opportunities that we probably wouldn't have had otherwise. We would have had expenditures that we didn't anticipate moving forward, or that we did anticipate and that we wouldn't have been able to cover. So here we are going to take the unassigned general fund surplus that we create in this year and use it to fund the loss of the appropriations in the current year. The nice thing about that will be, hopefully, it's not only equal to the $300,000, but maybe more equal to the $900,000 to $1 million that were projected or anticipated revenue, excess revenues that were anticipated because of the reorganization. And hopefully that will be able, that would give us even more money that we can then deal with and choose how we want to deal with at the end of the year. So that's why there's the proposed motion to allow the district's excess surplus to cover the reduction in state aid that actually was just voted on.
So a little bit about what's going really well. The moves are going really well. I have to say that every day I hear an update from Sioux High about our teams in the various buildings, and it's really exciting. So I'd like to just start a little bit about the middle school. We have a picture up there, but you're actually able to see the stage and the new surface live this evening and our freshly clean curtains. The middle school summer programs, first of all, the middle school is very busy during the month of July. As Mrs. Furman mentioned, there is the ESY program, and the Township Rec Department uses this facility. So it's a very busy place in July. So all of the other moves took place at the other buildings and all the busy packing and cleaning up until this point, where tomorrow we can really begin digging into this building. We did have some rooms that were not being used, and after the children went home around lunchtime, we had some cleaning crews come in and a few things brought over, but the middle school is now ready to really undertake a very well choreographed cleaning and moving. It's like a dance, it's amazing. Round Valley School, this is a great picture. Everything is clean and shiny and put in place. It's a wonderful thing. We have Mrs. Bosma and Mr. Connolly, and they're doing their yearly tasks, as all building principals need to do, with getting organized for the students returned. Third and fourth grade classrooms have been organized so teachers can arrive and set up any remaining items. Fifth grade organization of classrooms is beginning this week, as the sixth grade items that have been stored in the hallway are being moved out. So we have a little choreographed going on in that school. Patrick McGarren School, it's beautiful. It looks so great with all of the supplies and things that have arrived and that have been set up. Mrs. Goad is very busy preparing in the office with the secretarial staff. K first and second grade classrooms are really being organized and probably nearly done at this point. And the material orders have started to arrive, which is very exciting. As a former teacher, it was always like Christmas when the boxes started to arrive and we got to open them. So it was a very exciting time. Spruce Run School also hosts the extended school year program for our youngest children. And that ended today. So the cleaning of the remaining rooms, which are just a handful, will take place tomorrow and the remainder of the week. We have you can see the photo there. Our moving company has been busy bringing over the files for the Child Study Team office, which is this will be their new home at Spruce Run School, including the Director of Special Services as well as the secretaries. The materials are also arriving there for the youngest learners in the district at our pre-K programs. And so that's very exciting for all of our schools. So things are going very well. We're ahead of schedule. I'm going to knock wood. It's a little superstitious, but we're in really great shape. So we just want to, you know, say thank you and give a shout out to all of the people that have been involved with the moves, from our outside resources to our summer help, our custodial staff, our maintenance crew. Everyone has been fantastic. So it's been a pleasure to see smiling faces, a few jokes here and there, lots of fatigue, and some people got rained on last week, but everybody had a really great sense of humor about it. I think they actually enjoyed the rain. So it was a little cool off period. So we're in great shape. Other summer projects. As far as school security programs that are in progress, and they have been planned, that was the public address system at both Round Valley and the middle school here. And if you've ever been in the building, once in a while you'll hear some crackling. So those things have been addressed to upgrade those systems. Full security audits for the district is being planned. We have Round Valley Science Room with an HVAC upgrade. At PMG, the Airedale and Air Duct contract cleaning and servicing, and I now know more than I ever thought I would want to know about air ducts and air dales. I know what they are, and it's very important for clean air and feeling fresh in the classroom. So those are being addressed. And then again, our PA system in both of the Round Valley and the middle school.
Just a reminder, when the reorganization was first planned, there was anticipated savings of nearly $1 million. Those savings came from two areas principally, the transportation savings of $300,000 and personnel costs of $800,000. The transportation savings is being worked on. We're not finalized yet for what the costs of transportation are going to be for the year. We may come pretty close to that $300,000. I think we're probably going to be closer to $250,000 because some added expenses in reference to Spruce Run and commuting the smaller kids having to be more dedicated to them. But that's not far off. It's actually a pretty good estimate. We have one-time expenditures that were estimated to be about $142,500 for cleaning, maintenance on staff, people, and equipment. We're not going to hit that number. We're barely going to hit probably $125,000. $125,000, and one of the things that we're having to do, what we're doing, because we're going to monitor this throughout the year. It's not a one-time cost, just happens in the summer. We're putting in account code special just for things that are popping up because of the reorganization so that we can monitor and report out to it and report about it, the cost periodically throughout the year, at least probably every quarter. So we're anxious to see the year move on, but we're not because we don't want it to go too fast. But we do anticipate that savings number is probably pretty real. The toughest one right now to deal with is the personnel costs, primarily because we're in the middle of the summer. We don't have our teachers here yet. We don't know if a teacher is going to resign or a teacher is going to continue. We also have the negotiations that are in play. We have anticipated costs in reference to that. So that's going to be the harder one to nail down to actually say, hey, are we going to hit that $800,000? But over time, and certainly, you know, as the year progresses, we'll be able to report out on that and see how close we get to it. Okay? So what does this mean, really, to the taxpayer, the common person that, you know, lives here? The impact of the reorganization may have come at just the right time for us. Why is that? Well, because we have built-in savings in the reorganization plan that will help us address the cost reduction, the reduction in state aid that we got from the state. The taxpayer is not impacted this year. I want to repeat that. The taxpayer is not impacted this year. Because of the timing of the reduction in state aid in the budget process, it happened basically 2 days before July 1st, we can't go back and ask the community to pay more money. It's just not built into the system. And it would create too much of a hardship on the district, on the community. So you're not really allowed to even do that. Timing eliminated any opportunity to put out a tax levy that would have increased your taxes. That's a good thing. Reduction will not be returned moving forward. That $302,694,000 is gone. We've gotten it over years, over a number of years, that and more, because the adjustment aid has been going down a little bit over time. But we will never see that money again. The worry we have is that we may see cuts in other areas as well. I'm kind of hoping that we won't see as much moving forward because the adjustment aid number was hit in total, and hopefully we won't see other hits in like transportation or special ed or equalization aid. Hopefully they'll maintain it where we are. Enrollment is a factor in that, and people talked about that today in their interviews for the board seat, and you're very accurate on that. We've had declining enrollment, and that's probably one of the reasons why we were able to in the state's mind, absorb a hit of a reduction in state aid. And the potential for reduction to lead to future tax levy increases is possible. That's possible. But we don't know what will happen next year. We can't guarantee anything about the tax rate for next year. We'll go through the budget process. We'll recognize this excess surplus $302,000 in the next year's budget process, and we'll move forward with how it's going to impact the taxpayer next year. So no change to previously approved fiscal year 18-19 tax rates. And hopefully that's a good sign for everybody. All right, what do we have to do now? We have a lot of next steps that we have to do. We have to send the motion that's approved tonight to go to how we are going to handle the reduction of state aid. If we had reduced all line items, we would have had to report that to them. But right now, all we have to do is report to them the motion that we approved about using the excess surplus in the next year's budget. And we're going to monitor and report anticipated savings from the reorganization, like I spoke to earlier. Every dollar that we spend on the reorganization that's above and beyond what we anticipated for, you know, our regular schooling is going to be segregated and captured so that we can report out on it. And obviously any kind of savings that we get from the reorganization based upon positions in the transportation account, we're going to report out on. We're going to continue to closely monitor all expenditures. It's good for me to be here at this time of year because I get to look at the budget from scratch. It's easier to look at it now than it is when you're starting to create the budget, because now I at least get to familiarize myself with it, get familiar with people and the expenditures that they're making so that when the requisitions come in, I know what they're buying. And then during fiscal year 19-20 budget cycle, the big thing we have to do is make sure that we record the reduction in the state aid in our budget process by showing the use of excess surplus to cover our approved appropriations. And there's a bunch of forms that we fill out during the budget cycle that will record that and get the state to see that, you know, we actually did what we were going to do. And hopefully we'll have maybe a little more than just the reduction that they had, and we can plan out the future use of any excess surplus that we might have from the reorganization specifically.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any board members have any questions?
Just to confirm, the decision from the transportation area is not correct?
That is my understanding, correct. That was you know, it's not the commissioner doing it, it's not anybody doing it. That was a decision that was made at the legislature and the governor's budget language. It's built into the budget language. It doesn't mean we can't ask for an explanation. It doesn't mean that we can't try, and we will pursue that. But we'll see. You know, I'm more concerned about what that message was for what's going to happen in the future.
We have brought in an JSPA or an RDA on to the state senate and assembly to help out with the explanation in that process.
Personally, I don't think I have to. I worked side by side with the guys that actually processed these aid calculations, and I was on the phone with them this morning.
And
that's not nice.
Sorry.
That's all right.
Any other questions for Mr. Kilpatrick, please?
So we don't know. I've personally talked to the Assistant Commissioner of Finance, and he's promised to get back to me about, you know, why we got hit that way. And knowing the process of how they do it, it literally is, you know, an iteration back and forth, back and forth. However, the iteration is usually with the governor's office, preparing for the budget address that the governor gives. This was at the legislature and the governor's discussions. And it took them like 2 weeks to get numbers out that would agree with what the legislature and the governor agreed to.
So we had the second largest dollar percentage increase in the county, the second largest percentage increase in the state.
In the state. No one else got hit. Really, 10%, I think, was number three.
So we're short of that.
I believe so.
Even within our own county.
Right. I think it stands out more at the state level than the county level, only because the other school district was Bloomsbury.
And they
got hit, and they're very small.
On average, would the state aid reduce across the state?
No. There's a group of, you know, down below got very small increases in the middle, and then there's the outlier up top. There's really very low outliers down below.
How do you want to characterize this as a political decision?
No, it's interesting. Unless they went and looked at Clinton and said, boom, we're going to hit you, I don't see that, because I was looking at some of the other schools. I mean, Lakewood was another one that got hit hard. Now, Lakewood's been overfunded for a number of years for different reasons, mostly political. So I think they're starting to eat away at a district like that. But some of the other districts, I was like, I couldn't put that on. You know, you couldn't say Bergen County, you know, really got favored or got hurt. Or you couldn't say Somerset County got hit and got hurt. It was kind of, you know,
spread
out across the counties.
That's valuable information.
Any other questions from the board? What I'd like to do, is open the floor up for questions from anybody in the public on the presentation. So if you have any questions about the presentation,
please approach the microphone, state your name and address, and they'll answer any questions you might have. No? Seeing none? Okay, I'll close the floor, and we'll move on to our next committee's report. Personnel, Ms. Olasky is the chair. Ms. Olasky, may we have your committee's report, please?
Yes. So the Personnel Committee did not meet since the monthly board meeting last week, and I'm not going to go through all of the items that are on the agenda, except for the fact that there is one correction and two additions. There's a correction to action item 19-PN-025 to correct the misspelling of Ms. Vorey's first name. And then there is the addition of action item 19-PN-033 and 034, and I will read both of those. Oh, I'm sorry, I see it in handwritten, and 035. So I will read all three of those. So 033 is as follows. Be it resolved that the Board of Education hereby approves the employment of Victor Cardona, CTMS SE inclusion teacher, 8th grade, replacing Mary Beth Giddy. Step B, BA, $53,480, anticipated effective date August 28th, 2018 for the 2018-19 school year. 034 reads as follows. Be it resolved that the Board of Education hereby accepts the resignation of Linda McClurg, 0.5 FTE nurse, effective September 29th, 2018. And we would like to wish Mrs. McClurg well in her future endeavors. Action item 035 is as follows. Be it resolved that the Board of Education hereby approves the employment of Aaron Porter, RVS, music education teacher, replacing Julie Beckman. Step A, BA, $52,240. Anticipated effective date August 28th, 2018 for the 2018-19 school year. With that, I would like to make a motion to move action items 19PN-021 to 035.
Thank you, Ms. Olasky. I'm looking for a second, please.
I'll second.
Second, Mr. Malloy. Any questions for Ms. Olasky this evening?
I had a question about the district special education substitute. I was wondering if this is a position that's a year-round, or is it like the building substitute type deal?
Can answer that. Yes, the position will be for, it's a 10-month position. That substitute will be for the entire district, so that person will be available to all of the buildings in the Department of Special Ed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Mrs. Brennan?
Yes.
Mrs. Brooks?
Yes.
Dr. Foy is absent. Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mrs. Olasky?
Yes.
Mrs. R is absent, is left the meeting, and Ms. Grant?
Yes.
Mr. Holliday as well.
Mr. Holliday.
And I even noticed that, you know, abstain for not having done the research.
Okay, motion passes. Mr. Kilpatrick. We're not going to go into executive session again. You have no need, correct?
No, I do not. Thank you.
We do not as well. I'm looking for a motion, please, to adjourn this meeting.
Motion.
Second. Mrs. McLaughlin, Mrs. Olasky, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Meeting adjourned.